Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, we do too here at the Rancor Pit. This is Cole Jedi Cole Houston, and I am back as always with none other than Eddie Medina.
Yes, it is me, Eddie Medina. But even more importantly, joining us tonight is the unmountable Bobby Blissey.
Yes, indeed.
Whee!
Bobby is back, the perennial voice on the JCU.
He who you shall not take his call.
Perennial. Yeah, let's tell that story to get things going. That way, Bobby called me all pissed off at North Texas Comic Show saying, "What's going on? How come Cole's not taking my call?" I'm like, I'm at a convention. How am I supposed to know?
The one time I'm trying to take call into this dumb show, nobody answers.
at least you had the guts to say it's a dumb show. Wow.
Well, what made it worse is Cole had posted, "Hey, anybody that's at Celebration, call in live."
Yeah, and then...
And so I was in line, and I actually remembered, and I was alone that day, and had nothing
this
to do.
This would be to the live Rancor Pit for those not following. Just
yeah,
like
yes, yes. Live at deepelemonair.com.
Yes, don't call into this one. It's pre-recorded. but no, I remembered while standing in line, and I say I was alone with thousands of people, just nobody I wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
"You're one of those people who feels alone in a room full of people." I understand.
I always. So I'm like, I wonder if I'm missing the show. Do I have time? So I'm on my cell phone trying to find Wi-Fi in this stupid building. Then I get logged into there. I find it. I get the number. I'm like, yes, I'm going to call in with a live report from Celebration.
Which would have been awesome.
And apparently the phone was turned off there at the studio.
That's what he says, but let me tell you, I log in, I call in, I called seven times, and
good
every
night.
Time all it did was patch me in to listen to the show, and I'm like, and these people around me, I'm sure giving me these, are looking at me like I'm more so of an idiot than just being at a Star Wars show, but
more.
I'm like, because I'm yelling at the phone, I'm like, "Answer the stupid phone, I don't care about listening to your show." and they're looking at me like, and you know, the video's playing on my phone, and I'm like, "Answer the goddamn phone." So that's when I started calling Eddie, and then I'm texting Cole, and then I remember Cole can't get text because his phone's from the 1940s. And
okay, hey, I like the brick phone.
So it went back and forth, and I was just so aggravated. And while this is all going on and I'm listening to it, you're talking about me being at Celebration, and I'm like, I'm yelling, I'm on the phone. I'm here. You're talking about me.
I don't know if you realize that it doesn't matter if the phone's not picking up how loud you yell.
I'm aware of that. At that point,
the other end.
I was just frustrated at that point because there's been times that I've called in the show early on that it didn't really ring. It just
you actually took your call?
Well, no, it just patched me in, and I started talking, and then y'all started talking to me, so I didn't actually get a ring on this side. So I'm thinking maybe they're not listening or paying attention. So there's even moments that I was actually trying to talk like you could hear me, just in hope that I would say. So you're like, "Yeah,
oh,
Bobby's
yes.
out there." You're like, "Bobby's out doing such." I said, "Yes, I am, and I'm still
yeah,
here."
Right.
You know,
I keep forgetting to ask about that, but like, you know, the most recent Hey Kids comics, we couldn't get the phone to stop ringing because.
That's because you had the Midnight Movie Cowboys on.
Yeah, and they shamelessly promoted the hell out of it.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody knew that they were going to be on there. Plus, you get somebody with an Australian accent, and everybody wants to call in. So we are here today to allow some redemption to this, to allow Bobby to give a not-live report.
I can pretend I'm still there.
Yeah.
And to get the other side of the story to Scott Horn's side of the story from last episode.
We want to hear some more tales of Celebration. And we also are going to talk a little bit about, because we are recording on Mother's Day. And we want to have a little bit of a discussion on motherhood in Star Wars, what little there is. You know, oftentimes there are themes where like, we'll talk about this for 5 minutes because there's not a hell of a lot to tell. So we will we'll lead in with the thing that is most or was most on Bobby's mind in that moment where he, in his frustration, was passing the time of day in line.
You know, it surprisingly, it wasn't that bad. You know, I don't know if it's the excitement of the Star Wars or just being amongst so many people that are there for the same reason.
Or having
You said the Star Wars.
You did.
I did say the Star Wars.
You know, having a media badge doesn't hurt.
No, well, it doesn't, but just so everybody understands the media badge situation, I have to wait in the same line everybody else waits in.
We have absolutely nothing.
The only thing the media badge does is...
It's not a fast pass, basically.
I don't have to pay for anything to get in, which is a big thing. But it gets me into certain events, but they're all pre-booked via emails and everything else. I can't walk up to somebody and go, hey, I got a media badge. Let me in there.
You know?
And a lot of the panels and stuff, unless they're doing a specific press situation, we have to wait in line just like everybody else to get in any panels as well. So it doesn't do a whole lot other than...
Yeah, so you don't have like a reserve section.
No, it's really more or less just, you know, I didn't have to pay to go. So when I had to get up early just like everybody else, and if I didn't get... Because at one point they cut the line off and make you stay outside until they start letting them in, and then they start letting more people into the lines.
Yeah.
So if I had been with that group, I would have had to stay outside as well. So it didn't offer a whole lot. But I think there's a different vibe there, though, than like going to like, you know, like the Dallas Comic Cons or probably even San Diego Comic Con stuff, because everybody's there for a different reason.
Yeah, so plus Dallas Comic Con is the same thing for the press. I've been with the media badge. It's like getting in line.
Well, but it's not the press thing I'm referring to. It's just being in line. Well, the line wait didn't feel as dire. You know, because like I know me and Scott on the first day, we got there, what, like 7 or something in the morning? I don't remember how early it was. I know we got up way too freaking early. And thankfully, because they had the big opening day thing with the J.J. Abrams and the you know, you walk down there and we initially walked, and I'm not sure if he told you all this, we initially walked down that area where the line was, and it stunk and was hot to high heaven. So we came up and went stand in line, which made us like the first, some of the first people in line to actually get into the event, because when they opened it, they started letting us in first. And the other people had to come from all the way from the other end to go in, you know, which is how we got into the store so quick.
Yeah.
Nice.
But being around all those people that were excited for the same exact thing you're there for.
Exactly, yeah. And it's more targeted than
Yeah, it had a cooler vibe. And I don't know if he mentioned, there, the first day we were in line, we had this really nice couple standing in front of us that were married. And they were both wearing, you know, they had their Star Wars shirts on, you know, two different shirts. And they both had these Disney Just Married buttons, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
While we're standing in line for however many hours and all the different nonsense we're dealing with, as well as being apparently the information booth for the line, we turned around, or I turned around. There was a couple behind us, like two or three people back, wearing the exact same T-shirts and the exact same Disney buttons.
Wow.
And so I yelled at them. I'm like, y'all have to get up here. So they got the leap past everybody. I was like, and we were forcing them to all four take pictures together. Because I'm like, this is just.
What?
I'm like, do you people know each other? And they're like, no. And the guy, both guys are wearing the same shirt. Both girls are wearing the same shirt.
Wild.
Yeah.
And
were they Disney World specific shirts?
No. These
just
shirts.
Random.
The shirts they were wearing were, if I remember correctly, were just random Star Wars shirts.
What?
But the buttons
now
were
that,
the same.
Yeah.
Buttons were the same Disney Just Married buttons.
That's crazy.
The people in front of us were married. They were on kind of a late honeymoon. They'd been married for a couple of years, but didn't really get to go on one. So this was kind of their makeup honeymoon. The people behind us, they were actually just married and on their honeymoon. So we brought them together, and then we ended up spending the rest of the line hanging with them, and we all live streamed between six. There's six of us, and then a couple other people. They're all almost like a weird camp circle with all of our cell phones and tablets and stuff, live streaming the thing from the other side for the trailer with everybody. So it was like everybody kind of came together, and it was, you know, through this weird circumstance, it was just, you know, ironic with the shirts and stuff, and just made the first day experience really like, holy crap, you're really in like a real Star Wars world now.
Yeah. I hear the same excitement and vibe kind of permeates all the brony cons too.
That's a different one. Yeah. That's a different vibe.
Yeah,
and the furries.
Except you don't see any Just Married buttons there.
Well, you might, but it's not.
It depends on what state you're in.
Oh, wow.
their buttons are like just tamed.
Just branded.
That's right. I have to say, I don't know if y'all want to get too much into it.
Mark or whatever they call it.
I don't know if y'all got into it much with Scott or not on this aspect, but I want to point out, and I've been telling this story to so many different people because I've never really experienced this before.
Yeah.
When they debuted the trailer,
yeah,
there was like this, you know, we all watched the trailer and a lot of us got excited and thought, oh my God, that's cool. You feel like a kid again. You know, you see Han and Chewie and it was so cool. That building, it's hard to describe without seeing the building. But when the trailer started, and I'm talking, you have the stadium on the other end of the conference center. And then you had all these thousands of people in this one big gigantic room in line, and you know that you can see them all watching it together, right on their phones and their tablets and whatever. And you can hear, well, one of the jokes is you can tell whose connection was better than others because people's delayed reactions. But you could hear them, the oohs and the ahs as things were happening on the trailer.
Oh, okay.
But the moment that it got dead silent when everything went black in the trailer and you hear Han Solo talking and, you know, the Chewie, we're home thing, the building erupted, and I'm not exaggerating this, the entire building shook. The screams and the cheering.
Wow.
It's like,
yeah,
you could feel
that many people.
Yeah, and you could feel the, like, I mean, you could be the most heartless person in the world, and you can't help but be emotional just from the vibe in that room.
Wow,
it was almost like.
In other words, you got emotional.
No,
wow.
But.
So you're beyond heartless.
No, I didn't really give a shit. But but it was almost like being in like something.
Bobby's
like,
heart grew five times that day.
That's right. It was almost being at like, you know, something like you hear people talk about like a religious revival kind of thing where everybody's feeling the same thing of the spirit or whatever. Because you could see people like screaming. You could see people crying. You could see people freaking out. You could immediately see people trying to watch it again and high-fiving and hugging each other. It's like, what did you do? What are you high-fiving about?
What'd you do?
But then all day long, all you could hear everybody, did you see that trailer? Did you see that trailer? And we're like, we're at the same place.
I'm not going to see it. You're going to go through the trouble of going to Celebration and not watch the trailer?
We were walking in, me and Scott were both like, let's count how many times somebody asked us if we saw the trailer. And we were barely in line, and somebody's like, dude, did you see that trailer? And we were like, what trailer?
Yeah, I was going to say, please say you mess with someone and say, wait, there's a trailer?
Yeah, the guy was like, oh, you haven't seen it? Let me show you. I'm like, dude, at the same convention you're at.
You know, it's obviously what you experience is on a whole nother level, but I did, like, a few days after the fact, after, like, I had watched the trailer, like, 500 times, I did find this one really cool YouTube video, and I'm sure there's more than one, where somebody was, I guess, up on the balcony filming it on their phone, so you get to hear the reaction of the stadium or whatever they're in, of the center.
All right.
So you see the trailer playing off in the distance on this guy's, you know, in his phone. But yeah, you can hear the crowd react, and sure enough, when it goes black, you know, everyone dies down, and when he says, Chewie, we're home, you can't even hear anything. It sounds like a hurricane, basically.
Yeah, imagine that, like, 30-fold. It's just like, and like I said, we could hear them, you know, because it was like a split second before it played over there, probably a couple of seconds before it actually hit the live stream part.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we could hear them cheering, and it started sending like energy in the room because everybody's like, what is so great?
Yeah, of course. But so you literally felt the force right after that with the rumble and all that.
Yeah, and even though it wasn't as much, you got that same thing from when, like, BB-8, that's his name, right? Did I say that?
Yeah, BB-8, yeah.
And he rolls out onto the stage for the first time. You can hear them cheering. We're watching, and people are like, what? It's real? Then it became the talk of the show. How the hell did they make this thing? And
sorcerer!
Well, I turned around right after that thing came out, and we're all talking about it, and, you know, Scott's up being a science teacher. He's like, well, they must have done this, and they must have done this. And I'm like, thanks for ruining Star Wars.
He's like Bill Nye over there trying to
I told him, I was like, thanks for ruining Star Wars. And I'm like, you want to place bets that the suicide rate of droid builders is about to go up?
Exactly. That's a good point. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. I can only imagine. I mean,
I could not have expressed a better way to start. Because normally I'm not a big – I don't care a lot about the panels.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they're cool and I love seeing all this stuff, but usually you're so far away, you know, and there's just not energy. A lot of people just sit there like schlubs, you know, and don't say anything or get excited. And but that basically opened the door and said, you are in fact at Celebration, you know.
And that's such a high thing to follow, you know, for the rest of the weekend. But I'm sure they continue the energy. Yeah, when I saw the trailer, I know this has anything to do with your Celebration experience, but I'm going to say it anyway.
You go, girl.
You know, I was home alone.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, I'm not too sad. At least I wasn't across town at a job I don't like, but that's anyway. I was home, and I'm watching it on the live stream, and, like, sure enough, you know, the tree were home. You know, literally that moment you feel like you're back, and I felt like I was back in 1983 because that's the last time I got to experience for the first time all these characters.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm right away I call my brother Vic, who's not a bigger fan of Star Wars than I am. You know, I'm calling. I was like, "Did you see the freaking trailer?" And like, we're going crazy, you know, because we're like, it's like almost magical, you know, because you see this.
I'm not gonna lie, because the moment that I went back to the hotel room that day, we made our purchase, went back and dropped stuff off, and then went back.
Yeah.
I sat down on my laptop to watch it again because of me being hard of hearing. I couldn't see and hear. I mean, I couldn't hear everything.
Yeah.
So I immediately watched it again.
Well, especially after that cacophony.
You're right. But
probably even worse now.
I was like, I felt this need, like, I have to sit in this quiet room alone and watch the trailer. And I could. I wish I had a video of it because I'm sure it was a ridiculous situation. Is I'm watching this trailer and knowing what it's about to come, right? So I'm getting all anticipated, watching this sequence fixing to happen. And yeah. I can feel this dumb smile come on my face as it comes up. It was almost like the Joker looking up and giving your and then I catch myself. I'm like, you're an idiot. And I shut the laptop and go back to celebration.
Yeah, but see that you're not an idiot because that again, you immediately get taken back to 1983, which was the last time you got to experience these guys as these characters. You know,
yeah.
It's like.
I felt like a little kid. I haven't had any kind of movie or, you know, trailers or anything else that actually had me that excited. Because I'm not going to lie, as big a Star Wars fan as I am, I've not been as excited for this movie. But I think it's because of constantly hearing crap about it everywhere. So I was like, even with the first trailer, I was like, I'm excited to see it, but whatever. You know, because I'm tired of, who is this person playing? Oh, here's the cast. Who's this? Who's that? I'm like, I got to where I just didn't care.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that trailer that I finally started giving a crap again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it did
hear
the faith in Star Wars that was lost after the prequels.
But see, I didn't lose faith in Star Wars. I'm a real Star Wars fan.
I didn't either.
Well, not necessarily lose faith in Star Wars, but, you know, to finally have, as someone who I'd seen recently posted on Facebook, said, you know, it's nice to see a director who gives a shit about Star Wars again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a miss. Statement too, because I think George Lucas made the movie he wanted to make, and I think everybody, I think everybody needs to get over themselves about this whole, you ruined Star Wars, you messed with this. I'm like, no, he didn't. He made the movie he wanted to make. You don't like it, you don't have to like it.
If anybody has the right to make the movies, the Star Wars movie he feels he needs to make, it's George Lucas. But that's a whole other discussion.
I bet you money, if we didn't have the original Star Wars films, it may not have been as popular as it is now.
Oh.
But I guarantee those other movies, everybody would have loved them.
Mm-hmm.
But because
the thing about it is that, though, you have to admit there was a lot of the magic that was lost, especially with so much, because what it did was take full advantage of the fact that with CG, and this is true of even non-sci-fi films, is with the advent of CG, you can do anything. And so what you wind up with is, like, ridiculous car crashes and...
Yeah, Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, and things that are physically impossible because sometimes
artists
don't understand, you know, even with algorithms at their disposal, they're not understanding.
Well,
and I disagree with that, too. I mean, not that they don't understand.
That's because you watch too damn many movies.
No, I agree that they just kind of go off the rails sometimes. But it's also a science fiction movie. And to me, the prequels, whether they're CG or practical effects, was not what my disconnect or issue was. My issue with any of them, like when I came out of episode one, I hated it. But I didn't hate it because I thought it was a bad movie. I hated it because I realized I didn't know anybody in this movie. So I couldn't.
Yeah. So you have no...
The
other big problem, though, with episode one is that, or the prequels is, especially in the case of, like, say, episode one's big signature battle, is you have two opposing forces you care nothing about. You have a disposable droid army that carries through the entire series of films. And then you replace the Gungans nobody knows or cares about with a disposable
Boss,
clone army.
Boss Nass is American Jewel.
Oh, I agree. Except Brian Blessed is British.
It doesn't matter to me.
He's a British American jewel.
So is Superman now. Who cares?
Oh, so true.
I guess I'm the only one who must have come out of episode one actually really digging the movie.
Well, I went back and saw it. Like, I had tickets for it.
Night, loving it. I was ecstatic after coming out and seeing episode
I saw
one.
It twice in the same day because I had pre-bought tickets in the morning.
I saw it four times on opening day. So.
Well, then you should be quiet. But no, I saw it. You know, I'd already pre-bought two sets of tickets to go with my best friend at night and I went with some people during the day. When I saw it at night, I came out loving it. Mm-hmm. But it was when I came out that first time, I don't know what I had built up in my brain. You know, I enjoyed the movie, and it was, like I said, I just constantly asked myself, I was like, who are these people? Why do I care? Where's Luke? Where's Han? Yeah, I know there's Anakin. Who cares about these people? You know, because I think maybe I thought maybe we'd get like a little, some kind of, you know, Easter egg thing to kind of plant the seeds that these characters exist in this world.
Yeah.
Instead of, this is so far back, those people aren't there yet, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And but once I saw it the second time, I was like, all right, I'm cool with this. I love this movie. It's awesome. Yeah, woo, you know? And then I saw it, I think, two or three more times at the theater after that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right.
Well, I guess back to Celebration.
Yeah, back to Celebration, because they didn't talk about episode one.
Well, derailed a bit, but I think that, you know, there is a distinction there with the kind of anticipation you're going to have for episode
seven.
Oh,
yeah, true.
And I think in many ways the anticipation for seven is certainly bigger than, say, for episode two or three.
Oh, yeah. I think the anticipation for episode 7 is bigger than episode 1, to be honest.
I think the anticipation of the new movie, though, is not the Star Wars factor. It's just having the original people back. That's the
expectation. Exactly.
It's like, you know, all the people that bash the prequels, you know, yeah, okay, they justified whatever. They can hate whatever they want. But those same people, if they had made a movie without the original people coming back and decided a new thing, most of them would be hating on it the same way because they already hated the prequels.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the whole thing.
I think even, you know, with the returning characters notwithstanding, it just looks like you have a character mix you can care about again.
I know, all you care about is the black guy look lost all the time.
Lost and, and sweaty.
Okay, I gotta ask, what's with the hatred on John Boyega? Or Boyega, how do you say it?
Boyega, I believe.
Boyega, okay. What's with the whatever.
Are you talking about the kind of hatred that's on the internet, or
racially profiling? You know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
Well, no, that, and then I know you made a meme the other day, but it's not the first time I've seen
that wasn't a hate meme though. That was just a meme that the fact that the only shots you have seen of this character, of the Finn character,
yeah,
so far.
And I can answer why that's all you've seen.
Every single one of them. It's like, is there no part of this film where he isn't sweaty and perplexed?
They actually talked about it some, and the reason they're doing that is because whatever his arc are, they don't want you to know anything about it.
I know you don't mean anything by it, Cole, but your meme isn't the first one I've seen that way. I've seen other people making the jokes that he looks confused in all the shots, but I'm thinking, you're taking a snippet of a much larger.
Well, you know,
you're seeing one piece
of
something
really
puzzle.
Racist. I'm going to tell you something really racist, I swear to God, that I heard at Celebration.
Yeah.
There were numerous times that me and Scott spread out and went our different ways, right? So we have a lot of our individual experiences and then our group experiences, right?
Yeah.
And I wandered off at one point, and I was standing in line for something. I don't even remember what it was at this point. And I swear to you, I heard two people talking, and I heard one guy say, Who is this new guy? You can only have one black guy in Star Wars. And then an argument started of, I hope you're not the guy goes, I hope you're not talking about Lando, because what about Mace Windu? And he goes,
nice.
He goes, okay, well then you can only have one black guy per trilogy.
Did you see Lando in any of the episode 7 trailers? I mean, that's what I love about people who, when they try to justify themselves, they dig themselves deeper in a hole. Because now he's saying there can only be one. Well, this is a new trilogy. Guess what, guy?
That's what I'm saying. And then it spawned that conversation. It almost like he became accepting, because then it dawned on him.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe this is the black guy for this trilogy. And somebody next to him is like, who cares?
Exactly.
And a guy said, I swear to you, I about peed myself. I was laughing because I was about to say something just because I was starting to get irritated with them in general because they smelt. But the guy goes,
what?
The guy said, He was like, who cares? Have you not seen all the green and purple people in these movies?
Yeah, exactly.
And the other guy just kind of slinked down like, I think I was being racist, and he realized it.
But it must have been one of Scott's friends. There was a
no, it wasn't, couldn't have been one of Scott's friends, because he wasn't talking like this. And it, hold on,
one of his Favo first buddies.
There
buddy,
you have but. It.
I have to ask you this, because me and him had this argument numerous times ourselves. When he was on the show, did he say Boba Fett?
He did say, he said Boba Fett constantly. It was on purpose or anything. It was just like,
that's how he
for
says
some
it.
Reason, Boba Fett kept coming up.
Well, mm-hmm.
And all I could think of was Russell King and Boba Fett.
Let me tell you, Boba Fett came up numerous times while we were around, too. And I finally looked at him about, because he was here Wednesday, he spent the night at my house, and then we flew out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Drove from, L.A., which was about a 45-minute drive or so, to Anaheim. And then, of course, stayed in the hotel together. It was probably sometime late Friday afternoon. I look at him, I'm like, do you hear yourself? I said, why do you keep saying Baba? And he goes, because that's what it's called. I said, I guarantee you're the only person in these thousands of people at the convention calling Baba Fett.
But it's not like, like the Hammerhead character, who's Hammerhead when we were growing up, and then later got it when name inflation set in, he became Momon Nadon.
Well,
and if you pronounce it Mama Nadon, that would be okay, because it was never pronounced on screen.
But even on screen, you could have stuff that says, you have Han and you have Han. They're both set on screen.
True. But I mean,
nobody ever says, hey, Boba Fett.
You don't have Han going, Boba Fett? Boba Fett? Where?
I kept telling him, I was like, stop saying that. And we were with somebody else later on, and he said it.
Obviously, neither one of y'all have heard the Spanish dubbed version.
Oh, is that what
that, but the, but
yeah,
see,
that's
yeah,
where
but,
that comes from, yeah.
They call him El Boba Fett.
El Boba
I'll
Fett. That's where Scott's bilingual is all of it.
I'll tell you that.
Okay.
That is not where he got that.
Yeah. It was actually in France, because they don't know what a Boba Fett is. They call
we were talking to somebody else, and Scott threw Boba Fett out. And I looked at the guy. It was one of Scott's friends. I don't even think I knew the guy. And I'm like, did you just hear that? I was like, am I the only one hearing this? And they're like, we don't know why he says it either.
It's like in France, they call it Le Baba Fett.
Between that and the consistent argument of calling it Arkansas that kept pissing him off.
Arkansas, yeah. Well, they only call it that in France because they go by the metric system.
That's why, so they don't know they don't know what a boba is.
Yeah.
Because they don't have those weird Japanese tea places.
Yeah, and over there they dip their babas in mayonnaise.
Okay.
I've seen them do that shit.
Oh,
did he, speaking of dipping mayonnaise, did he tell y'all about the Jedi powerful bathroom experience?
Oh, he did.
We saw the pictures too.
Yeah.
I kid you not. I think his picture may have gone viral, because after I saw him post it that morning, like later on that day, I was seeing it show up on all these other feeds. From people who aren't connected to Scott.
It was
so, yeah.
What did he?
It must have made the rounds socially somehow.
That all happened the first day, and I'm assuming he told y'all that we were like the information booth for the line, apparently.
Yeah. You told us that, but.
Oh, well, everybody kept coming over into the line where we were at and saying, one person said, is this the line? And I'm like, no, just chilling,
We're just chilling with 300 people.
Yeah, and then people kept asking us, where's the end of the line at? Because it's kind of they don't have you in like a straight line like you would expect, like you would think. Wow. Hey, here's a line. They herd you like cattle into these big corrals, So the front person in the line makes
corrals, as Scott would call them.
Yes, right. But like the front of that line.
With apologies to Scott.
The front of that line could be 10 people. People kept coming up to us nonstop, where's this end of the line, where's this, where's that? And I got so tired of them, I finally just started telling people, somebody's like, what's this line for? I'll be like, I started telling people it's chicken nuggets.
Oh, nice!
I just would look at
people. Did anybody get in the line? Because, I love chicken
nuggets. No, but I think we only had one person that goes, dude, I love chicken nuggets. And I'm like, dear God, man. But it was like, and this was all the first day. We had the bathroom thing, we had the chicken nuggets thing, the information booth, the trailer. It was too much a Star Wars experience for one 4-hour experience.
Yeah, you can't combine Star Wars and chicken nuggets on the same day. That's too much.
Yeah, and then, of course, later in the afternoon, I was freaking starving for fucking chicken nuggets.
Of course you were. I guess this word got around that if anybody had a question, go ask the Boba Fett guy.
Well, I'm thinking it was because...
Boba Fett guy? Where?
They had all these metal bars that kind of separated all the little car aisles.
Uh-huh.
Right at ours, there was one of those little rope lines, so maybe it looked
maybe
it looked important.
It looked more official.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
There was a lady that we went into Wednesday afternoon. I went in to pick up my media badge, right? And they weren't open yet, but they had...
Obviously.
David Petty, you know, David Petty has his Star Wars car in there, so there's a whole, like, 6 or 7 cars there.
Oh, yeah.
Not more than that. And they're right there in the same room where you get your badges and your tickets and all that kind of stuff for pre-registration.
Yeah.
So walked in there. I got my media badge. We were picking up some tickets. So we were walking by. We saw the cars. We saw David. So we're going to walk over there just to say hey to David and Camille. And there's this lady. There's like this security lady, I guess. She had to be like 80. And she's standing there in front of us, and she's like, stop. And we're like, what? She goes, you can't go over here to the cars yet. Literally standing, she's almost not 3 feet in front of a car.
Oh, okay.
We can see
her. You're already there.
Yeah, I'm there. I could reach past her and touch the hood. And they're all there, and she's like, you can't come near the cars. And then she looks at me, and she's like, especially you. And I went, what?
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking that she's joking, or maybe my tattoos and stuff maybe look like a criminal. And I'm like, what do you mean, me? And I'm like, we know him. It's David. And so Scott's yelling at David over this lady's head. David, you know, whatever. And she goes, no, you're media. We can't have you taking pictures of these cars. And I'm pulling my phone. I'm like, lady, I got 3 pictures of this car on my phone already.
From other things.
Out in
yeah.
the wild, you know, like
yeah,
on the
like,
road.
Like, no, y'all need to go. Y'all can't be here. We're not open today. So we're outside. And I'm like, that's the first time I was in trouble for being media.
I'm surprised that's the first time.
Yeah, I'm like. Wouldn't as a media?
She probably looked upon you as an obvious yellow journalist.
Exactly. I'm like, but wouldn't you want me to
put a spin on this? That's
like, what's going to happen if I take pictures today or tomorrow morning of the same
exactly.
the same media?
Well, that it's the same damn like they're going to be the same cars in the same position. It's not like they're going to be in a different.
Well, I can kind of see where she's coming from because they don't want anything of Celebration 2015 leaked before the opening
day.
Oh,
yeah, it's like those pictures, the aerial shots from the set of Episode 7.
But here's the deal.
You can see the X-Wing and where they were building the Falcon.
Here's the deal, though, is it is not – they were not in the dealer room. They were in where you wait in line. So the moment you walk in, there's nothing to leak. It's already leaking. They're leaking it at themselves every time somebody walks in.
So basically, anybody could be taking pictures as they're going up to get their tickets. And
yeah, I could have zoomed. I could have stood in the line where I got my media badge and took my camera and zoomed in and took a picture of every single car and just like right in front of it.
That's ridiculous.
So it was just like, don't walk past here. We're closed. And I'm like, can I? And I could, I'm guarantee if I had said, can I use the restroom? She would have said yes. And you would have had to walk past the cars to go to the Jedi bathrooms.
No, she would have said yes, but you take a picture.
That's right.
Gotta shoot ya.
No, she probably would have said, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
The country,
you can go to the bathroom.
Country science teacher can go, but you can't.
You can hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Boba Fett can go.
That's
weird. Right.
That's like saying you can't breathe the air over here because that's the air for tomorrow's crowd.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly what it was.
We're trying to keep
course,
this air.
And, of course, David's, I guess, partially deaf because we're screaming at him, and neither him or Camille even noticed we were over there.
He's ignoring you. He's ignoring you.
He's ignoring Scott because I wasn't yelling. Scott was yelling. So if we played banjos, he might have heard him better.
Wow.
Anyway, so that's day one.
That's not even day one. That's like prequel to the.
Well, that's like Wednesday and Thursday with the other stories too. That's all day one and a half. We'll go there.
That's true. That's good night.
Not forgetting, like, totally non Star Wars related, but the first thing Scott wants to do when we get to LA as we're driving into Anaheim is find a Walmart.
What? Of course. Because they don't have Walmarts in Arkansas.
Well, it wasn't even to look at toys or anything. I'm like, hey, we're gonna look for Star Wars stuff. This is awesome. Wanted to buy snacks. So
yeah.
We bought con food, so it was nothing but sugar and Cokes.
Yeah, like fats and sugars.
Yeah, that we had nutty bars. And
there's these
people we were hanging out with. I don't know if Scott wants this to be known, but I'm going to tell him anyway because it's funny. He didn't, and nobody did anything wrong, so he shouldn't get in trouble for this. And I've already told my wife, so if he gets in trouble, that's his problem. There's these group of people we were hanging out with on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And there's these two girls that he had met at because they were drunk, and they latched on to Scott because he looked like Danny McBride. Right?
Of course.
Oddly enough, Danny McBride also pronounces it Boba Fett.
That may be so. So he's telling me, because I wasn't there when they met. I came down. It was at the 501st party, and then I came down later that night, saw them, and they were both plastered. So anyway, Saturday night, they're having like a big rave party outside. The convention is, and these girls are here, and they're not near. One of them is not near as drunk, so we're all just kind of talking, shooting the crap. And
first thing I thought you were saying they weren't legal or something.
No.
They were barely legal.
There was this whacked out Australian guy that was a friend with him that we kept getting him to say a dingo ate my baby all night. And,
damn it! Stew over last night. I didn't think to do that.
Oh, dude, we were quizzing him on cereals because he didn't know about American cereal, and we just were just a total attack on the Australian world. Anyway, so we're all hanging out for the longest time.
Yanks.
So we're at the end of the night, we're leaving. We're all going in the hotel. We're going to our rooms, right? And they come up and they're coming to our floor, and I'm like, where's everybody going? And I don't know if you saw it. Somebody posted a picture. One of the girls that posted a picture of all four of us in the elevator, right? Okay. And so we're walking down the hallway, and I'm like, are we all going to our room? What's happening? And she's like, Scott says he's giving us nutty bars. I'm like, oh, okay. And the other girl goes, I don't think – the other girl goes – hold on. The other girl goes, I don't think you know what nutty bars means, and they're laughing. So we get in there. We open the door. Scott turns around and gives them 2 cents of nutty bars. And they're like, oh, you were really giving us nutty bars? And we're like, we said we had them, and then they left.
They were really there for some other kind of nutty bar.
I don't think they were.
They thought there were some hammer jammers coming.
I honestly don't think they were there for anything other than, but I don't think they actually have nutty bars.
I think they were hoping that they would hear Scott say Boba Fett again. Say Boba Fett again! I dare you! I double dare you!
Well, the one girl, Scott kept kind of, between Scott and these two other guys, all kept trying to throw her in a fountain. The other girl was drunk off her butt. Yeah, it was a long story.
Was she wearing a white shirt?
No, it was just harassing her because she was sitting right on the edge of the fountain and kept saying she was afraid to fall in, so then everybody's trying to throw her in.
Oh, of course.
But her friend was drunk and trying to score with everybody. And I'm not talking about an art group.
Oh, yeah, she must have been drunk.
No, I'm not talking about an art group. I'm talking about people were walking by.
She was looking for the nutty bar.
Yeah.
No. That's what's weird. That just shows how lame we are, because I don't think they were looking at us. But
there's always such a thing as a last resort.
At one point, every time a group of people walked next to us, she would stumble out in front of the group and say, like, hey, where are you going?
She was like the slutty couple burr.
But she was creeping people out.
Wait, stop. Pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say that again, Cole.
She was like the slutty cucklebur.
I just wanted to make sure everybody heard that.
Yeah. So if you're unfamiliar with the term, this was coined at AllCon with these two gentlemen and a few others. The cucklebur is the person at the convention who no one in your group knows, but they attach themselves to your group.
Let me tell you about those that we had attached to our group. Those girls weren't one of them. We were actually talking to them with a couple other people, right? Because the one that was trying to score with everybody, she was rarely there with us because she was constantly chasing everything she saw.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to score with Elvis Trooper for a while.
Oh, yeah?
And
I tried that.
I bet you did.
Hashtag slutty cucklebird.
But there was this poor guy. He come walking up, and very large gentleman. He was probably early 20s. Nice kid, right? And he was sitting across from us outside, and he just kind of, you know, we're outside the hotels. The way this place was set up is you had the Marriott and the Hilton, I think they were, on either side, and the convention's kind of in the center, it's kind of in the middle, kind of connecting them. And then this really long, almost like median sidewalk type thing where they had all these food trucks and parties going on. And everybody's outside partying and going in between the hotels, right?
All right.
Yeah.
So we're sitting outside this fountain, which we were at most of the night. And people are walking past, so we're making fun of people and talking to people. And so this guy, he came up with the Australian guy, but the Australian guy was friends with the girls, so that's why he was there. Nobody knew this other guy. And so he sat down, and he had to be well over 300 pounds. And so I'm staring at him, and I'm like, nobody's talking to this guy. So you, me being me, I'm like, dude, what's up, man? I'm like, what's your name? I'm Bobby. You know, and he introduced himself. I don't remember what it is now. And we talked a couple times, and then he disappeared, right? Well, anytime we moved, he would suddenly come show back up a little bit drunker every time. And he would just stumble up, and he would see me, and he'd be like, Bobby! And, he was getting a little more ripe. Every time.
Okay.
And then he would just stand there. And then there was a guy, and I wish I'd been on the phone with Scott, because then I could have had Scott tell the story, because Scott knew the other guy, but I don't know the connection. Somebody dumped him off on Scott. And he was just standing next to us. Didn't say a word, just with his hands in his pockets. And wherever we went, he would just kind of follow us and then stand there. And one of the girls said, she leaned over to me, kind of whispering to him one point. She goes, who is that guy, and why is he with us all the time? You know? And I think he hurt her because then he wandered off.
Oh. Kind of like your wife told the Cucklebird Alton to take a hike.
The Power Rangers.
No.
Get the step in.
Wow.
Get the step in and hit the bricks.
That's right. Hit the bricks. Yes.
So, yes, bloody very much that situation. When I told Drew about it, she goes, what, did you tell him to get the step in?
Nice.
She goes, that's why I'm supposed to be at these conventions with you.
Yeah, so that was supposed to be an object lesson. You know?
And she was supposed to be there, so it would have happened.
Moment, it turns out, to teach us what to say.
So anyway, that was the after hours experience. It was very much like AllCon after hours.
Yeah.
Because it was so connected and everybody was so close to out there together. Like they had the rave style party that AllCon has, you know, that we used to call the high school dance.
Yeah.
So you look at it, this sea of thousands of people with these food trucks and stuff all outside, but instead of glow sticks, it's all lightsabers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. They had a live DJ, so just it's parties going, there's lightsabers, and there's people in random costumes dancing, and it's not near as racy as as the stuff at AllCon, but because it was outside in public. But you go into some of the hotels, it got pretty hardcore.
Yeah, like what was the most hardcore thing you saw?
It still wasn't as much as AllCon. It was more just people being drunk and falling all over each other, you know. And like, there's a photo online of Scott wearing a horse head, like a rubber.
In fact, that became part of the photos that we used for the episode.
Yeah,
he was on.
That was us walking around. We met up with Cameron and Brian Earls, and they were hanging out with an Ireland squad of the 501st, I think it was. And there was this random horse head laying on the.
We didn't get a story behind the horse. It was just simply mentioned.
Yeah, it was just there. And there really, we didn't even get a story. It was just there. And Cameron said something about Scott. Scott picked it up. And she goes, you got to put it on. He's like, I don't want to put this stanky thing on. And
yeah, who knows where it's been?
And we were like, get over yourself. Put it on. Uncle
Burr's been wearing it.
Yeah, we're like, get over yourself. Put it on. So then he put it on, of course, and posed for pictures. And then I think then people started talking about how it had balls in it or something. It just, who knows.
It had balls in it?
That's what I think some of the Irish guys started saying. Oh, it was on my balls and whatever. Like, just trying to mess with Scott because he had his face in it.
There you have it. That's apparently that's how the Irish wear horse head masks.
I did get a, and this is
wrong. They use it to hold their sweaty cucklebirds.
Wow. Hashtag sweaty cucklebur.
This is a kind of again, I wish Scott could be here for this one because Scott could explain two sides of the story. It's a Star Wars related story, but it's not at the same time.
Yeah.
They had a 501st bash that you had to buy tickets for separately than the con.
Yeah, he did mention that one on the show.
And I didn't buy a ticket, and I wasn't feeling that well. I was kind of hurting that day, so Scott went on to the bash, and I was chilling in the room working, right? And so I'm on Facebook while I'm, you know, posting stuff, and I saw somebody post a picture. I think it actually might have been David or Camille posted a picture, and in the background I see this guy who's Dutch, Delaney, who is manager for Steven Stanton and some of these other guys, right? Steven Stanton being the voice of Grand Moff Tarkin on Clone Wars, and which I'm friends with all them. And I knew they were going to be there, but
we are
them.
Too.
I know that, but I know y'all are, but I hadn't seen them, and we had talked about, hey, let's meet up somewhere, and I hadn't seen them at all, right? And this is Saturday night. Well, in the picture, I see Steven and Dutch standing behind them. I'm like, holy crap, I know where they're at. So I ran down there to try to see if I could find them to say hey. So I don't see them anywhere when I get down there, and I'm not even I'm dressed, but now I'm dressed more like a hobo because I'd taken off the day's t-shirts when I'm wearing like a sleeveless shirt and, you know, just a pair of shorts and stuff. So I really wasn't going down there to party. So I get over there and I find Brian Earls. And we're walking around and he's asking, you know, why I didn't go to the party. And he goes, you know, Dutch, you don't need a ticket. But then he had to go pick a mannequin. So anyway, so I keep walking around now. I'm trying to see if I can find Scott or somebody because I'm already here. So I walk up and of course, I'm wearing my 501st badge thinking it's going to do anything for me. And I walked up and there's a security guy checking people's tickets and stuff to go into the bash. And I just walked up, you know, I kind of hovered a little bit trying to see what they were checking and if I had any way to get in. And I finally said, screw it. I walked over there and I just looked at him and I just kept walking as I stared at him. And he kind of looked at me like he wasn't sure if he was allowed to talk to me. And I just went in the bash.
So, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, so I'm walking around in the bash now trying to find Dutch and all them, and I'm seeing some people here partying, and you know, Sam Witwer's in there, and Dave Filoni was in there, and Matthew Wood, and all these people are in there partying, right? So I'm seeing all these people, and finally I hear Scott yell me, Bobby! And Scott's sitting over at the table. He goes, how'd you get in here? I'm like, I walked in here. I have the 501st badge. I do whatever I want, you know?
Of course.
And so,
of course.
So we're hanging out stuff, and it's kind of it's still going pretty heavily, but it's kind of dying down a little bit. So we go outside, we're walking around. Well, then I see Dutch. So I go over there and say hi to him. And Dutch, he grabs me by the back of the head, you know, like a dad giving a kid a berating, right?
Oh, that head.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The other one would have been much nicer for this case. And so he kind of almost slams me against the wall, not like angrily, but kind of backs me to the wall, and he's like, first he's like, hey, I was hoping to see you here, give me a hug, hey, how's it going? And then he's got this hand on the back of my head, like, and he's gripping the back of my neck, you know, holding on, and yeah. Commences to giving me a lecture about taking care of myself, and about, because he's a martial artist as well, which is how we connect.
Oh, okay.
And he's giving me the things, you got to stop doing all this training, because I know you're about to have surgery, and I follow you on Facebook, I don't post things, but I know what you're doing. And Scott's...
I know what you're doing wrong.
And Scott doesn't know. Scott's standing against the wall looking like, what the hell is going on? This goes on for like 10, 15 minutes of him just in my face talking. And at one point, I swear, two people came up to say bye to him. He turned around. He's hugging the people, shaking hands, saying bye, and never let go of my head. And Scott's rolling at this point because he's like, what is going on? And I'm looking at him like, dude, I'm being held hostage. And it goes, so he finally let me go and goes on. And then I get over to Steven, and it's another long conversation about the kind of the same thing. And it was once we got away from that, it was like, I don't really know what we should do. So we just went to bed at that point. It was like I've been assaulted and given a lecture, you know, and then I got another lecture from Grand Moff Tarkin about taking care of myself.
You probably told him, hey, if this guy comes over, tell him what he needs to do for himself.
Pretty much. So that was like...
Yeah, when you get schooled by a Grand Moff Tarkin, it's time to just turn in for the night.
Pretty much. I'm like, okay, sorry, sir.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, that we're going to be coming up on our time here pretty soon. But we do want to talk a little bit about... You know, being Mother's Day, this kind of came to mind that the whole we have to talk the Padme thing a little bit about the birth of Luke and Leia. Not the least of which, how the hell do you birth any babies with those stupid droids? Like a big catcher's mitt there.
Did you not see that? One of them had like a little bit of a scoop. You could scoop right in there. And
I was like, what is like a peanut shaped?
Let me explain to you how childbirth works. Yeah, I have two kids. When the head pops out first.
Is you don't use a baseball.
No. You can. The head pops out first, and then you just scoop it into that head, and then you yank it out.
Okay.
That's why my son's head's misshapen.
Okay. So he says like a peanut.
Exactly.
You had it was a droid delivery.
Exactly.
But you know we all know what her kids' names are.
Do we? Do we really?
But the lackluster, at least for me, I don't know. I just want to know how you guys feel about this. But the naming sequence there just seemed a little lackluster, like, Luke, Leia.
Yeah,
she did in fact have
it's
9 months.
Like, you already know what their names are going to be, so I'll just say them very poorly.
That was like almost as poorly done as when they named Superman in Man of Steel. Instead of just giving Lois Lane the chance to name him Superman, they had that goofball army guy, no name, just like, oh, his name is Superman. That's what they're calling him.
Yeah, and that also, you know, this
is going to point out that is pretty a pretty dumb name, just Superman. That's not a lot of thought put into that.
I know, but
if you, I have to say it.
Yeah, not Lois Lane, but yeah, it was just kind of thrown out there. You know, if Lucas really wanted to just like throw everyone for a loop for episode 3, knowing good and well people were already disappointed up in that point, he should have Padme give birth to triplets. And then we never find out what happens to the third kid.
Actually, he should have named him something completely different with the twins just to confuse the hell out of everybody.
So there actually was a third child that she named Nutty Bar.
Oh, yeah. Nutty Bar. You know, I was at the store yesterday, and I was looking for something to eat, and I'm like, Nutty Bars. I'm like, nope, those cause trouble.
Oh, yeah. The ladies love Nutty Bars.
Okay, Cole, now we know what to bring Bobby a box
to
the next
right.
Let me tell you something. You want to get some chicks to your hotel room? Have Nutty Bars.
No, give them the promise of Nutty Bars.
That's right, and then you want them to leave, you give them to them.
Okay, let's touch on that just real quick before we get... What were they thinking?
Cole's trying to talk about this subject, and where's the back of
Nutty Bars? I know, just real quick, because I wanted to say this earlier, I didn't get a chance to, but what were they thinking going with two strange guys to a hotel room with the promise of Nutty Bars, not knowing that they were actually talking about Little Debbie Snack Cake Nutty Bars?
Let me just say, we had been hanging out for about 5 hours.
All I'm going to say is look up the definition of Nutty Bar on Urban Dictionary, and maybe we'll have our answer.
I don't think – we were no longer strangers after 4 to 5 hours of making fun of people together.
Yeah.
and I'm not completely sure that neither one of them were hoping for something else. I'm just saying we didn't have that on our mind. We had the Nutty Bars on our mind.
Yeah.
And the thing I first
you just
told
wanted
Scott,
the big sugar buzz, that's all.
Well, and to further prove that point, I had bought a box of those orange cupcakes.
Yeah.
Right? And after they left, I had miscalculated because I didn't know Scott had taken some one morning. And I'm like, I look and there's only like two. I'm like, dude, did you give them some of my cupcakes? He's like, so it became a whole mystery of trying to solve where my cupcakes went. I didn't care about the Nutty Bars, but don't take my damn cupcakes.
So it's important also
anyway.
Sure,
so back to mothers in Star Wars.
It is important if you, like, say, Celebration 8 rolls around, that you need to be absolutely certain to, bring lots of snack cakes.
Well, hopefully, one of them, the non-insane drunk one, may have convinced her to, because I think they're from, I don't remember if it was Kentucky or somewhere else, but she may actually fly in for Alcon next year.
Oh, very nice.
So we'll have
Nutty Bars waiting for her.
Well, I'll tell you if she's coming, and then we're going to introduce her as like, I'd like you to meet Nutty Bar.
Now, what you need to do is if she does come, get her to come to whatever the first game show of the weekend is, and I'll be sure and have like, it's a Nutty Bar.
Well, there was a lot of Alcon talk, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And us telling them about them because they hadn't been to a whole lot of the conventions. But she does a lot of cosplay, but it's kind of new to her or whatever. And so we were telling about the insanity of the comparison to what we were going through there and compared to Alcon and how it was reminding us of it. And it brought back a lot of memories, you know, of the old Alcon when it was a little more insane. You know, I think the closest to nudity or anything cool like that we got here, which was not cool, was this very bizarre gentleman that Scott knew that he said he's just a weirdo. And I think, I don't know if he's part of the 501st or something else, but he looked like the blonde guy in the original Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. The one with the long hair?
Yeah. And he come out of the, Scott kept telling me, he kept avoiding that guy every time we saw him. And at one point we were at the hotel, the other hotel where most of the 501st was, and we were walking around looking just to see who we could find. And the guy comes walking in from the pool area wearing a robe and a Speedo.
Oh.
And he's looking at us like, hello.
I did see some leaked photos. That's a new episode 7 character.
Well, then he's definitely Sith, because that dude was something to look at.
His character's name is Darth Schlong.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And there's going to be – and you thought the arguments about that other lightsaber were coming up.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to be talking about moms or something?
I don't know.
Are we not?
At this point, but yeah. He was one bad mother.
Oh, I do owe Cole a thank you. Because one of the things I know Scott did touch on is the whole situation with the con store and how long it takes to get in and out of it and how we got in there really fast. Because I was trying to save my money, I didn't go – I also didn't anticipate the insanity of the store later. So when I went in there, I only bought a Gaunt Droid t-shirt for my wife, the Jack in the Box Space Slug, and
I can't wait to get my hands on mine.
The convention book, you know, the commemorative book, because I have one for my other two celebrations.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I've started a collection of Chewbacca's, of like stuffed bizarre Chewbacca's.
Uh-huh. And
I was like, well, crap, I really wish I should have bought that sock monkey Chewbacca. Well, of course, because of the insanity of the thing, I never went back. But
and
because
I didn't even remember that you had mentioned as much to me. You had got one of those.
Well, because you posted about, I think, Warren saying something, I actually ordered one, and I now own one. Because of the thing about found in the store that are still – the Reed Pop was selling a bunch of this exclusive still online.
Yes.
Because I saw your post, I was able to go and buy, and I got it in the mail yesterday. So I officially have a stock monkey Chewbacca.
Excellent. Yeah, in fact, my sushi set, the It's a Wrap thing that I didn't want
until I saw how cool the stuff was. I may still try to order one. The only other thing I didn't get was the Silicious Chrome Clock. Order that too, and like I said, there was a whole mix up with my work payroll, so I wasn't sure how much money I'm gonna have anything, and I'm like, okay, I've got to like ration my funds now because I've got to be here and I still got to eat and I got to pay for gas and the rent car. I'm gonna have to get a hotel overnight when I get back to LA before I come home, and then of course it got solved on Sunday, which pissed me off.
Of course, yeah. In fact, as we record this, this being Sunday night of Mother's Day, all six items are still available on ReedPop.
Ooh, and then I may still have to order the sushi, whatever container thing.
Yeah, in fact, it had arrived to work while I was off on vacation, and I asked a friend of mine to bring it home, and I was going to go pick it up tonight, and I flat forgot about it.
Well, my wife is even more inspired because she's been talking a while back. I don't know if she'll get it done for AllCon or not. She's wanting to make her a Gaunt Droid costume.
Ah, nice.
And so they did put out a t-shirt that says Honk if you love Gaunt Droids or something like that.
It was Gonk if you love Star Wars.
That's right, yeah. So that's the shirt she was all excited for that I was required to pick up more than anything else that I wanted.
Okay.
But I did buy that. I think I posted a picture. I did get a vintage Chewbacca stuff plush. It was like a very bizarre flat. And the weirdest thing is there was a table full of them. I'll have to send you the picture if you want to post it on this.
Yes, I would love to. I would like for you to send, like Scott did, send me a handful of photos that you might have taken.
Okay, yeah, because that one, I took a picture of the table, and it's like 15 of those things laying, and it looks like a cat puked on the table. It's the strangest looking thing, and then I showed her and told her what it was via the text, and she goes, oh, well, you have to buy one of those, because I wasn't sure if I should spend the money on it, because it was like $40. And she goes, yeah, you need one of those for the weird Chewbacca collection.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
So now I have the...
Well, I'm glad I was able to help. That was the intention there. Is once I knew that was available, I was trying to spread the word on Facebook and JCU and stuff that, you know, these things were still available.
So anybody that needs one, get out there and buy them, especially the Jack in the Box Space Slug.
Yes, if you missed out on that, that's one of the best things that thankfully is still out there. And
Eddie needs one of those.
With that, we'll close it up with did either of you have any further observations other than Bobby's armchair gynecological knowledge on childbirth and robotic assistance thereof?
Well, I was going to say happy Mother's Day to Leia for, you know, Jaina, Jason, and Anakin, but since that's been
disavowed, so
you can still say it, because just because they know that doesn't mean she didn't get knocked up with somebody else.
Yeah. That's true.
That would
explain why the child looked partially like Greedo in
oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going. To be honest, I knew where I wanted to go with it, but I also know this is kind of a sort of family friendly show.
I think I threw that out the window halfway through the show. Sorry.
Pretty much, but we expect that when we have you on a show.
Hey, wait a minute.
She hooked up with the slutty cucklebur at some point in the saga.
Oh, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Well, the Star Wars
nutty bar, the nutty bar was just too much to say no to.
What?
Yeah.
Again, did that not bother anyone? Or
we have to mention another often overlooked mother in the Star Wars universe, and that's Mala.
Oh yes, of course. Disavowed, I guess, technically, which is maybe for the best. But yeah, she makes some good Wookiee floor soup. She's a busy single mother.
Yeah, pretty much.
she
has to take care of not only her bratty ass kid, but her crazy ass father.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whose dad that is. Is it hers? Is it Chewie's? Is it a neighbor? I mean,
well, I think it's Chewie's. I think they established that in episode 3.
Well, there's a
they did not establish that in episode 3.
Yeah, no, there's no scene
with Itchy in episode 3. You're not going to
listen.
I know. In the middle of a battle, you can see B. Arthur running by.
Exactly. No, I'm not kidding. There's like one of those official reference books where they talk about the Battle of Kashyyyk, and they mention Itchy as being a pilot of one of those gunships or one of the Wookiee ships. And he's like a captain or something in the Wookiee army. So they establish him, and you only assume that because he was in it and Chewbacca was in that same army fighting in that same battle. I kind of think that leans him more towards Chewie's side.
Just because he's there doesn't mean
that's true.
You are arguing about the most named
Star
Wars universe.
But just because he was just because he was there doesn't mean that he's not, like, you know, that's probably how they hooked up. It's like, you ever see Paul Verhoeven's Excalibur? You know, Guinevere was the king's daughter when young Arthur was hanging around fighting battles, and they hooked up. I think it's the sort of thing like...
Paul Hogan's
Chewbacca, I see you're really in good with Yoda, because he's saying goodbye. Bye, young Chewbacca. And, you know, my daughter's only, she's only like 512, look like a family kind of guy. You look like the kind of Wookiee that's going
to
stay home and raise his family and not run off with some human and disappear. And
look, maybe she didn't come into his life until later because he had knocked her up and they went off to fight in a war.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
Itchy did have to warn Chewbacca that she does have an eye for the humans when they come around.
Oh,
you know, the way
she
was giving the doe eyes to Han Solo.
She was dropping some serious Wookiee eggs there.
Yeah, giving her the big doe eyes during the holiday special there.
Has anybody ever noticed that Granddad kind of looked like Bob Dole?
I imagine you are not the only one. The only one on this show.
Bob Dole. Crap. I'm not even going to go there.
I'm Bob Dole. Bob Dole says.
Yeah, he did have a serious underbite. I don't know if...
his lower lip was very much like Akbar, though, where it had that big gigantic...
Yeah.
We already established that the son looked like Adam Rich from Eight Is Enough.
You know, I was wondering for many years before the internet if that was Gary Coleman, because his son, Lumpy, had such chubby cheeks. And
could have been Webster.
Oh, could have been.
Webster wasn't even a thing yet. For that matter, neither was freaking Gary Coleman.
I love it. Hold on. Of all this conversation we've had, all this useless information, the two things that have irritated you both, you got mad because Gary Coleman and Webster were alive, and Cole's mad because you tried to claim that he was in the Battle of Kashyyyk. That's what y'all are upset about in this conversation.
These are the things that we're going to have to do a whole on this.
But you loosely accept that I think Itchy looks like Bob Dole.
We're fine with that. You can believe whatever you want. I don't have to talk to you about this next week.
Now, Cole, now you have to do a side-and-side comparison of Bob Dole and Itchy for the flavor art.
I'll put a picture in there and see, you know. Do you see what Bobby sees?
Nobody sees what Bobby sees.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And you got to do Scratchy and Adam Rich when you do
that. Is it Itchy or Scratchy? I've been mixing that up for years.
I want to see
I don't know.
I want to see Scratchy from Itchy and Scratchy. You need to do like a cartoon of Scratchy.
Lumpy's a kid.
You know everything. Calm down, Lobot.
Ironically, that's the way I wear my headphones when we record.
That's why I'm wearing mine now.
It's Lobot style.
I have like a bald cap attached to my headset, so when I put it on, I can be Lobot.
I should know the names because when we did the. What's it called?
Oh, actually, also his name is Lobafett.
Lobbit. All new on Fox, Lobbit and Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
So it's not, I'm assuming it's not Poonda Baba?
Only in the dirty Star Wars.
Yes, in the Porn Wars it is.
Porn Wars.
Which, if anybody would like to see a copy, I'm having a party at my house next week.
All right.
There's
like Porn Wars, and there's like Porn Wars Episode 1 or something.
Wow.
There's also Buffy the Vampire Lair, Edward Penis Hands, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff on Gold.
I've heard the Scissorhands one. I haven't heard about Buffy.
The Backdoor Bradys, all of them.
Wow.
I wish I could say that was fake, but I used to work in a video store, and they had this area that was not friendly to the younger audiences.
So Backdoor Brady's goes back way back when?
I don't know if it goes that far back, but it goes back, let me tell you.
You know, there's the most recent song about SpongeBob SquareNuts.
What?
Flavorful.
There was a SpongeBob.
That offends me.
Yes, there is an, I know what he's talking about, sadly. There is, in fact, a SpongeBob adult film.
I'm sure you do.
I honestly have not seen that one, not for not looking for it. I just haven't seen it yet.
They haven't sent you that to review, have they?
No, not yet.
Not to get too graphic, but now that I think about it, Poonda Baba actually makes sense considering what the front of his face looks like.
It's the original ass face.
I love it. Not to get too dirty, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not going to say this, but I am. It's like the thing that people love to say when they're like, look, I'm not trying to be rude, but you suck.
I'm not going to be rude anyway.
And I'm not thinking it looked like a butt either, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that.
It's kind of like that creature.
Eddie, we got it.
Yeah, we understand now. It's okay.
It's kind of like that creature at the end of Starship Troopers that they jabbed the thing into.
You know, it'd be really weird if you stood Poonda Baba, and then right behind him you stood Numb facing the other direction. You'd have the front and the back.
Wow.
You started it.
I think this is the time we're going to go ahead and close out. And we're
this is a whole better show, let me tell you. I think
we're going to thank our guest, Bobby Blakey, for bringing us to a place
Wow. We
may never want to revisit. But yet, we're strangely
compelled. I'll see you all next time.
Yeah, we're strangely compelled to have you back and discuss this more.
Well, let's hope. Hopefully, I would like to try to pre-plan if the show hasn't been taken off the air by then. But I am currently planning to go to Celebration Europe next year.
Oh, very nice.
So hopefully we can try to coordinate it and I can call in on a show live.
You can get up at 2 in the morning and call in.
Exactly.
Is it too late to throw Bib Fortuna into the mix of Night Noom and the...
Yeah, that's only in... she sort of gets an honorable mention. In fact, you mentioned that when you encounter the two-headed beast that you were describing. you kind of wish you had a Bib Fortuna.
We all put in a Bib Fortuna.
That's right.
Oh God!
So thank you, Bobby, and
you're welcome.
And
thank you for letting me discuss the Star Wars.
The Star Wars. You like the Porn Wars? Well, apparently you've come to the right place.
You have just gone into a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, a galaxy far down below. Wow. So thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Bobby. And happy Mother's Day to everyone who's...
what a way to make our Mother's Day tribute.
Exactly.
With talk of Poonda Baba and everything else.
Why couldn't you just leave it? If he had just... We could have laughed half the Mother's Day and left it. You had to interject back.
Exactly. I had to take it all back to where it started, so...
Well, thank you so much for
any of our listeners playing this tender moment for their moms.
Hey, Mom, this is a special Mother's Day episode of Rancor Pit. You want to listen? Oh, I love Poonda Baba. That's a great joke.
I like me some yak face.
Oh, I think that those the Nutty Bar Girls got a serious case of yak face there.
Or diabetes, one of the two.
One of the two. Oh, I can just see that. I got this vision of Wilford Brimley.
What? Hold on, hold on.
If
hold
you
on.
Have yak face, be sure to take your blood sugar off.
Hold on. Why would you ever have a vision of Wilford Brimley?
You wouldn't believe how often visions of Wilford. The other day I got a tortilla that had Wilford Brimley's face.
Of course you did.
And I had one with a yak face as well. So this has been the Rancor Pit. Tune in a week from today for the return of Eddie Medina to the Rancor Pit live.
Well, don't hold your breath because something may come up. Their
special guest will be Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. I may be having Bobby Blakey as my guest host next week.
It'll be Wilford Brimley cosplaying as Boss
Nat. Oh, that'd be amazing. Wow.
I plan to be on the live show. Don't worry about that.
We are having the second Galactic Film Festival with our guests, Danae Griffith and Ricardo Alvarez, who will be bringing each a clip from their film.
Oh, Ricardo's going to be there, too? I had no idea.
Is he bringing a tattoo?
Huh? You're thinking of Air, who apparently died of typecasting.
I was just thrown for a loop gun. I knew we had Danae coming on the show, but not Ricardo, which is fine. But can I make a request that we get a midget? Can we get a midget on the show?
Wow, they're called little.
As soon as you find one, yes, and they're called little people or Ewoks.
Oh, well, never mind. I'll tell you later. Leave y'all hanging. Bye. Okay.
Bye. Good night, everybody. This is coming to you, of course, through the Jedi Call Universe, JediCall.com. You can write to us. On second thought, you might not want to write to us.
Can we just say goodbye?
Run away.
You can find the live Rancor Pit on deepelemonair.com, the occasional tweet from Twitter on, we are on Twitter at the Jedi Cole U, and the Jedi Cole Universe YouTube feed will soon be having some more stuff for you to watch, including excerpts from Porn Wars. So we'll be back in 2 weeks for Simple Tricks and Nonsense. We got to get people to watch the somehow.
We'll be reenacting it.
And you can catch a special Bobby Blakey reenactment. But I do want to see Bobby do Scratchy from Simpsons teamed up with Itchy from the Holiday Special. So that's your assignment to ignore.
I was told there'd be no homework.
That's what we wanted you to think. Say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.